Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, comedy. Later on, we hear Joan Davis time with special guest Gary Moore from 1948. Right now, it's the Penny Singleton Show. Coming off the success of the Blondie radio series from the comic strip to the theater of the mind, she stars in her own program now, which was a summer replacement for Fibber McGee and Molly from late May through July of 1950, then taking over for Bob Hope as a summer replacement through September of that year. This episode from that summer series called The Admiral from NBC.
The Penny Singleton Show. On stage tonight from Hollywood, The Penny Singleton Show.
Hello, Kathy, you're listening.
Our story is Mrs. Penny Williamson, Navy widow and mother of two daughters, 13-year-old D.G. and 8-year-old Sue. In addition to running a home and raising a family, Penny sells real estate. It's morning at the Williamson house, and Penny is already at the breakfast table as D.G. enters.
Morning, Mother.
Morning, D.G. Isn't Sue dressed? Margaret has breakfast almost ready.
Well, Sue came downstairs before I did.
Maybe she went out to feed her rabbits.
Mother, isn't there anything we can do about getting all of her animals outdoors? Last night, her turtle climbed out of the bowl again and got lost somewhere in our room.
Haven't you found it?
No, and I'm afraid to put on a shoe without looking into it. Gee, I wish we were rich enough to have a big house with a bedroom all to myself. Sharing a room with Sue's like sharing a room with Frank Buck.
Oh, she'll get over the fish and animal stage someday.
Mother, have you ever considered looking beyond Judge Grendel or Mr. Wiggins and maybe marrying a millionaire?
There aren't many millionaires floating around these days.
Well, every once in a while I read about somebody making a Cinderella marriage.
I don't think I'm the glass slipper type. And another thing, D.G., I wish you wouldn't pick up the town's attitude toward me, the judge, and my business partner.
Well, they're always in there pitching to become our father.
I know, but I can't help it if they take advantage of my friendship.
The eggs will be... Where's Sue?
I think she's outside. D.G., would
you call... I'll call her. Through the window, she's talking to somebody. Here's the youngest.
I give up, Margaret. Yeah. You can let go of my ear now.
No, I'll get the egg.
Morning, Mother.
Good morning, Sue.
And hello again, Droop.
Mother, don't let her call me that.
Well, I don't even know what a Droop is.
Combination droop and drip.
Eat your Wheaties, Sue. And don't call your sister a, what was that word?
Drought.
Mother!
Anyway, don't call her that again.
Now I wish we could have two houses, one for me and one for her.
D.G., darling, beloved sister, pass the milk, please.
Mother, she's being...
I'm being sweet. Do I have to kiss you to get the milk?
Now stop it, you two.
How much salary does a judge get, Mother?
Oh, D.G., stop trying to marry me off. I've enough on my hands with you and your sister.
D.G. Grundle. D.G.'s the stepdaughter of Judge Grundle, you know.
Hey, that doesn't sound so bad. Look, when you're old enough, you can get married and change your name to anything you want. Allow me the same consideration.
Sue Wiggins. Sue Wiggins of the Cabbage Patch.
And I'm not marrying Horace Wiggins, either.
Here's the egg.
Thank you, Margaret. Now eat your eggs, girls, and let's stop all this talk about marriage.
Oh, last night I dreamt I got married.
Oh, you did, Margaret? Who'd you marry?
Richard Widmark.
Richard Widmark? But he's so mean.
Oh, he can push me down a flight of stairs anytime he wants to. I'll see who it is.
Sue, you go upstairs right after breakfast and look for your turtle. D.G. told me he was lost again.
All right.
And when I think of him crawling around someplace up there...
Maybe when I'm looking for him, I'll find my lizard. He's lost in our bedroom, too.
A lizard, too? Mother, now you know why I'm aging so fast. Well, I'm going to be an absolute hag at 15.
Telegram for you, Mrs. Williamson.
Thank you, Margaret.
Well, maybe the messenger boy wants it back.
Who's it from, Mother?
Just a second, dear. It's odd.
Oh, good morning, Mrs. Duncan.
If it's private news, Mother, watch it. Here comes Mrs. D.
Well?
Oh.
Oh, good morning, Penny dear.
Oh,
good
morning,
Sue.
D.G.
Hello,
Mrs. Duncan.
Yes. Oh,
Penny, I just saw the messenger boy leave.
Uh-oh.
Well, bad news? The telegram. You know, your telegram. Is it from your sister? What happened to her? Sciatica?
Hold it, Ida. It's not from my sister.
Oh. Well, of course, it's none of my business. And I certainly don't mean to pry. Seem curious or snoopy or... Aren't you going to tell me? Your dearest friend?
I can't figure out who it's from. It's signed the old tar.
Who?
The old tar?
Well, what does it say? Maybe that'll give us a clue.
No, Ida. It just says, see you soon.
Oh!
Now, really, Ida.
Well, it's all right. If it's something you want to keep from me, keep it from me. That's the way things are. Is it?
That's not the way things are, but if you choose to think so, there's nothing I can say.
Well, it's all right. I'll be running along.
Goodbye, Ida.
You weren't keeping anything from her?
No, darling. Look at the telegram yourself. See you soon. Signed, the old tar. The old tar. I've heard someone called that. Like a nickname, but I just don't remember.
Miss Williamson, was that telegram something important or serious?
No, Margaret. Why?
Well, Mrs. Duncan ran around to the kitchen and asked me if I knew what it was about.
Well, Ida's still trying. Matter of fact, so am I. The old tar. Good morning, Mr. Wiggins.
Oh, good morning, Penny.
Mr. Wiggins, have you ever heard of the old tar?
Yes. It's something I feel like kicking out of Judge Grundle when he gets that moon-eyed look over you.
You're no help at all. All morning I've been trying to think.
Oh, so have I. I've been trying to think about you and me. Pretty you and plain old me.
Mr. Wiggins, this morning at breakfast, D.G. entertained me with Cinderella. Maybe at lunch I won't mind Beauty and the Beast.
Let's leave Grundle out of this. Does my being a little older than you make it hard for you to see me as a husband and a father for D.G. and Sue?
Age has nothing to do with it. I enjoy the company of mature men, as long as they behave like mature men.
Well, let's not get too keen about mature men. After all, Judge Grundle is older than I am.
He's a year older.
Yes, well, I'm cuter.
Wiggins. Thank heavens, anything to change the subject. Williamson and...
Oh, Mrs. Williamson.
Margaret.
Have you ever seen a dream walking?
Well...
I did. He just walked in here to see you.
What are you talking about?
Something wrong at home, Penny?
You know your telegram this morning?
I know the telegram. Nothing's wrong, Mr. Wiggins, I don't think.
It's Admiral Paul Foster, the children's godfather.
The old tar.
Who? What? Who? Huh? Huh?
Margaret, I'll be right home. I'll be right there.
Well, Penny, what's wonderful? Hey, where are you going?
Home. Oh, where's my hat?
Hey, you're as excited as a kid at Christmas. What happened?
Here's my hat. Call you later.
Telegram. Did Margaret tell her? Better call Ida Duncan about this.
Ida, this is Horace Wiggins. Ida, did anything happen that...
It certainly did. The most terrible thing happened.
What was it?
I left the water running in the kitchen sink and it flooded all over the floor.
Oh, what's so terrible about that?
Well, you'll see. This morning, Penny got a telegram from the old tar, and she pretended she didn't even know who sent it.
Go on, Ida.
Well, it worried me all morning. About 15 minutes ago, I was washing the dishes when I saw a car pull up in front of Penny's, and I ran to the window. I left the water running in the sink.
Ida, get out of the sink and get back in the car.
Well, the most distinguished man got out and went into Penny's house. Oh, Horace, he was utterly divine looking.
Oh, no.
Oh, he was a mature looking man, but... Oh, my. And I think he's something in the Navy. He had lots of gold braid on the uniform. He looked like Aethiopinza.
Aethiopinza? And uniform? This is terrible.
Oh, no, the terrible part was when I got back to my kitchen.
Oh, it's bad enough as it is. Now, don't exaggerate, Ida.
I'm not exaggerating. The water had run over the top of the sink and was all over the floor, and I think I'm going to have to try a new linoleum, and that's terrible.
Oh, no.
What'd you say, Horace? I didn't hear you. What'd you say? Maybe the line went dead.
No, Ida. I did.
To think I'd forgotten calling my husband Skipper that one night. And I turned around and there you were.
Oh, well, I really can't blame you for forgetting. That was 8 or 9 years ago.
And now you're an admiral. My goodness. When did that happen?
During my tour of duty in the Mediterranean. Penny, darling, you haven't changed a bit.
Thank you. And, Paul, I think those extra gold stripes on your sleeve and that silver in your hair make you handsomer than ever.
Careful, Penny. All this goes to my head.
Anyway, Paul, welcome to Middleton.
Well, thank you, darling. I wanted to see you and the children, and I also want to draw up a new will and, well, add some things that I've already planned to leave my godchildren.
Oh, Paul, you've done so much already.
Why not? I haven't a chigger child of my own, and make me very happy to do it for them. Now, where are my godchildren?
Well, one of them's digging worms, and the other's at her girlfriend's. Margaret's gone to get them.
What are you doing home, Mother? I was right in the middle of digging worms when... Oh!
Sue, this is Admiral Foster. He's your godfather.
Well, well, the last time I saw you, Sue, you were just a baby. And the cutest baby I ever saw.
Well,
that's no way to greet Admiral Foster.
Do I salute him or kiss him?
Both might be nice.
What's the matter? Lois and I were giving each other permits, and Margaret came and... Oh, a death! My hair is half in curlers!
D.G., do you remember him?
Hi, D.G.
But Sally, Captain Foster.
And now Admiral.
Well, you're my godfather. I just barely remember,
you're
but...
doing well. You were only 5 then.
When at 5, I certainly didn't appreciate him.
By the way, D.G., I brought something for you and Sue.
Oh, boy!
Let's see. Which is which? Oh, yeah. Now, this is yours, Sue. I hope you like it.
Oh, thanks.
And, D.G., this is for you. Do you like music?
Do I like music? Tell her, Mother.
A book about animals. Oh, Admiral, anchors away.
You're welcome, Sue.
Oh, I'm so excited. Mother, look. Look, Sue. South Pacific Records, a whole album, piano.
How nice.
Oh, gee, thanks, Admiral.
You're quite welcome, D.G.
Mother, may I play one, please? Just one, please.
Of course. You did very well, Paul.
Come on, Sue.
You're two fine, well-mannered girls, Benny.
Well, they're probably putting it on for your benefit, Paul. If you were around here a while.
Well, I wish I could be, but I'm driving through to San Diego to take over a new job in the Pacific.
Not even time out for a day or two, will
you? No, Penny, I'm sorry. And that reminds me, driving into Middleton, I was stopped by a motorcycle officer, and we both discovered my driver's license had expired. Do you think we could take care of that as well as the will at the city hall or the courthouse?
Excuse me, Mrs. Williamson.
Yes, Margaret.
About lunch. H-O-T or C-O-L-D?
Let me take you and the girls to lunch, Betty.
That would be nice.
I'll get it.
Now, Paul, about D.G. and Sue.
I really want to do it, Penny, and there's no better time than now.
Then I'll phone Judge Grundle. He can help you, I know.
All right. Oh, Mr. Wiggin.
Margaret, I don't want to interrupt Mrs. Williamson, but if she's coming back to the office, I can...
No. She's going out to lunch with Admiral Foster.
Admiral?
Uh-huh.
What's that music? Oh, no. Margaret, does he look like H.C. Offenza?
Yes, he is kind of pingy.
What an enchanted day this has turned out to be.
Are you coming in?
No, I'm not. I'm going down and see Judge Grundle. Maybe between the two of us, we can wash that man right out of her hair.
And now for Act Two of the Penny Singleton Show. It's a little later, and we find Penny upstairs in her room getting dressed for her luncheon with Admiral Foster. D.G. is just coming in.
Mother?
Yes, dear, Aldrich?
Yes, but look at my hair. One half has a wave and the other side just hangs there.
Wear a hat. After lunch, we're going down to the courthouse. I tried to get Judge Grundle, but he was in court. His secretary said she'd handle things.
I'm all ready, Mother.
Fine, dear.
Well, while I'm waiting, I'm going to play another one of those South Pacific records.
Mother?
Yes, dear. White gloves. Now, where are my white gloves?
Would you mind if I join the Navy when I'm a few years older?
Oh, you like the Admiral, don't you?
Aw, cut it out, Mother.
Well, I can't think of a nicer man for you to have a crush on.
Mrs. Williamson.
Yes, Margaret. Do go on downstairs and tell your godfather I'll be right down.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Margaret. What?
Well, with the fleet in, it slipped my mind. He didn't want to stay. He just turned and left.
Who?
Mr. Wiggins.
Mr. Wiggins? What did he want?
I don't know. But he looked more uncomfortable than a Marine at a tea party.
Court will recess until 1:30.
Hey, Judge Grundle.
Wiggins.
Hurry.
Huh? What's the matter? Oh, I thought you'd never get finished. Well, Wiggins, what's on your mind?
If any.
Judge, I realize that we aren't exactly friends.
True.
And when it comes to Penny Williamson, we're considerably less than friends.
So true.
You've heard of Ezio Pinza, haven't you?
Of course I have. The dearest thing to Ezio Pinza in this town happens to be, in all modesty, me.
You think I'm kidding about this, don't you? You don't believe it. Well, just go ahead. Call Penny. Find out for yourself.
Oh, I think this is silly, but I'll call.
I'll tell you something serious is going on.
Oh, Wiggins, this is Middleton, not the island of Bali High. Now, relax.
Hello?
This is...
Hello.
What is it, Judge?
Hello.
Well, what's the matter? You look awful.
Bali High is calling.
Hello.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have the wrong number, Mary. I mean, Miss Martin.
Is that you, Judge Grundle?
No, you've got the wrong number.
No, I haven't. You have. Is that you, Judge? Hello.
Never mind.
What happened?
Well, I heard music. Now wait a minute. Did you see this Admiral Pinza?
No, but Ida Duncan did.
Ida Duncan? What in the name of Blackstone am I getting riled up about? Everything I know is based on something she says. She's notoriously unreliable. Oh, this is ridiculous.
Well, I just...
You come in here all wild-eyed and make up my time, and I've got a dozen things to do during recess. If you'll excuse me, I've got to check these messages on my desk.
Well, my time's valuable, too, but you'll see. So long, sucker.
Wait. Come back.
What's wrong now?
You were right, Horace. I call you Horace because, well, it looks like there's nothing to stop us from being friends now, buddy.
What?
This message from Miss Hodge, my secretary. Mrs. Williamson called about the Admiral. I'm getting the license for him.
License?
Says here, Mrs. Williamson wants you to handle the legal part of their affair. Admiral Foster and Mrs. Williamson will be in before court resumes this afternoon. Miss Hodge.
A marriage license.
Obviously, she wants me to marry them.
Well, I guess we will be friends. Bessemer.
I like eating in a restaurant, Admiral.
I'm glad.
And all the extra plates and things they put on the table. Just like they didn't care who had to wash the dishes.
I still wish I could figure out what was the matter with Mr. Wiggins.
He's your real estate partner?
Yes. And Judge Grundle is also a good friend of ours. I know that was the judge on the phone, and something was wrong with him, too.
They're in love with Mother.
Oh, D.G.
Judge Grundle gave me a horned toad last week. I named him Ronald Reagan. That was before I met you, of course, Admiral.
Oh, you'd have named him after me.
Don't worry, Paul. You'll get it. There's bound to be an Admiral Paul Foster around the house soon, even though you're away.
Oh, Penny, it's good to see you and the children so well and happy. And it's nice you can depend on your two friends, like the judge and your partner, Wiggins.
I'm glad it shows. Now hurry, girls, with your dessert, and let's get to the courthouse before Judge Grundle's afternoon session starts.
Show just cause why these parties should not be legally joined in
home. Oh, no, cut it out, Betsy.
Well, if it gets you, what do you think it does to me? I'll be marrying her to someone else. Let's see if I remember the rest of it.
Oh, no.
Let him speak now or hereafter hold his peace.
Oh, Fanny, no!
That's right, you can't, Penny. Horace, I'm trying to rehearse. Do you, Admiral, take this woman? I can't do it. I feel like Walter Pigeon marrying Greer Goss and after Humphrey Bogart. So, come in, come in.
Hello, Judge, Mr. Wiggins.
Annie.
Hi, Mr.
Oh, hello, Sue. Hello, D.G.
Now, I'd like you both to meet Admiral Paul Foster. Paul, these are my very good friends, Judge Grundle and Mr. Wiggins.
Glad to know you.
Judge, Mr. Wiggins.
Please, let's get this over with. You have the license, I presume?
No, and I'm in rather a hurry for that. I appreciate your kindness, Judge.
Judge, that license. I mean, I talked to your secretary.
Oh, then she's attended to it, so we may as well proceed.
Is little Sue the flower girl?
No, I'm an animal girl.
Wait a minute, everybody.
Must we stretch this moment of misery any further?
Huh?
Take her hand, Admiral.
Glad to, but I don't know what
custom,
this is.
Custom.
I can't walk.
You better come back here. I think you're the best man. I can't go through this without a rehearsal anyway. Let's start again. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here.
I think I've seen this in a movie someplace.
Seen it, I've been through it.
We are gathered here this day to unite this man and this woman.
Judge, I'm a bachelor, and when I get through making out my will, am I still going to be a bachelor?
Please. We are gathered here this day to make out a will. Will!
At last.
Judge, hold everything.
I think we almost had a father there.
A will? What will?
Admiral Foster is D.G. and Sue's godfather. He wants to name them in his will. We thought you'd help us draw up the papers, Judge Grundle.
Yeah, but what about that license?
Driver's license. Did you two really think we were getting married?
Oh, well, we were
confused about something.
Yeah. Glad to know you, Admiral Foster.
Explain that dearly beloved speech.
Well, Penny, it was a joke. Yes, it was a joke, that's it. Well, we weren't really upset, were we, Wiggins?
No. It was just a little joke. Sorry, Admiral, when I was younger than Margaret, says you look like ACO Finster. Imagine you looking like ACO.
Why, Paul, there is a strong resemblance. Hmm? You do.
Yeah, I would imagine that.
Yeah, well, wait a minute, Judge.
Huh?
Penny thinks he does, too.
Hmm?
Come to think of it, Paul, I don't know how you stayed a bachelor.
Judge, bachelor. Still a bachelor.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Are you two starting to build this up again?
Oh, no. Believe me, it's farthest thing from my mind. None of this would have happened if Wiggins hadn't interrupted me in court during the state versus H.C.O. Pinzer. I mean...
No, wait, don't blame it all on me. You're a great judge. You don't even know the difference between a marriage license and a driver's license.
Yes, sir.
I thought you were Penny's closest friend.
We are. Penny, you know I've always been devoted to you.
Really?
Now, Penny, what has H.O. Pinzer got that I haven't got?
Mary Martin. Come on, Paul, D.G. and Sue. We'll go over to the mayor's office. We'll get everything done there.
Penny!
Mother, we better hurry before Mrs. Duncan shows up here with the rice.
Penny Singleton Show featured Gail Gordon, Jim Backus, Bea Benaderet, Sarah Selby, Mary Lee Robb, and Sheila James.
The Penny Singleton Show on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from the summer of 1950 on NBC. You're listening to an hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now comedian Joan Davis entertains on CBS from Valentine's Day 1948 with special guest Gary Moore.
Operator, will you please give me the correct time?
Certainly, sir. It's Joan Davis time.
Sure, it's Joan Davis time.
question about it. From coast to coast, it's Joan Davis time. You spend with Joan Davis tonight, you'll hear the voice of her special guest, that very popular and laugh-provoking answer to everybody's $64 question, Gary Moore. Plus a great supporting cast featuring Lionel Sander, Hans Conried, Florence Halep, Gail Bonney, the music of John Rarick's orchestra, the Choral Air Singing Quintet, and yours sincerely, Ben Gates. Our singing group greets Joan with glee and tells her, you were meant for me. To meet the star of our show, America's Queen of Comedy, Joan Davis.
Oh, thank you. And hi, everybody.
Hi, Joanie. Well, friends, it seems that Joan Davis has been keeping a secret from all of us. For the past few weeks, she's been taking a correspondence course in nursing, and she feels very confident of eventual success. After all, Joanie asked herself, what does a woman need to become a nurse? Well, first she needs a tender heart.
Yes, and I got a tender heart.
She needs a strong body.
I got a strong body.
She needs a fine brain.
I got a strong body. Gosh, I'm really excited about becoming a nurse, and the course only cost me $25, and you should see what I learned. Now I can prepare I know how to bandage Say, maybe I should have taken the $50 course. But you know, the thing I like about nursing is that I'm doing something really important. You see, I'm not the type of girl who can be happy just working around a tea room in a pair of slacks. I'm not built that way. Anyhow, I got my nurse's diploma from the Acme Correspondence School, and nothing can discourage me. Not even Lionel's sarcastic remarks.
But honest, boys, how can you become a real nurse by mail?
Well, why not? For your information, we work with actual patients who had real ailments. The Acme Correspondence School would send a letter with the symptoms, and we'd rush a letter back with the treatment we thought the patient should get. Unfortunately, my patient died.
Yeah, what did he die of?
Insufficient postage. But you're not going to talk me out of being a nurse. Medicine is a wonderful profession, and I want to be part of it.
Well, honestly, I can't blame you for feeling that way, boss. Medicine is a noble calling. The things it's done. Why, did you know that the Panama Canal couldn't even be built till the doctors found the cure for yellow fever? The place was full of it.
Well, gosh, if the place was full of yellow fever, why'd they build a Panama Canal in Panama?
They had to. Property was too high in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Good. Look, boss. I know there's still a shortage of nurses, and you're trying to help, but think of the patient.
What about the patient?
Well, let's take a hypothetical case.
It's simple or compound?
What's the difference?
That's what I say. What's the difference?
Now, look.
I shouldn't even have mentioned it.
Some poor guy's just been operated on. The ether is wearing off.
Yes?
He's coming out of shock.
Yes.
Suddenly, he sees the face of his nurse bending over him. Your face. Wham! He's back in shock again.
Oh, Lionel, that's not true. I'll be a source of comfort to my patients. I'll arouse in them the will to live and the courage to get well. Oh, I can just see myself with the patient. Rodney. Oh, Rodney, my poor sick patient.
Yes, Nurse Davis, old Heather.
Rodney, this may hurt a little. I don't have an anesthetic to give you.
Oh, that's quite all right, old girl. When you look at me with your soft blue eyes, you give me courage I've never had before. Who needs an anesthetic? I'll take my aspirin without one.
Oh, gosh, Lionel, thanks for getting in the mood with me.
Oh,
for a minute there, I felt like I was a real Florence Nightingale. Well, so long. I'll see you later.
Where are you going?
Well, I put in an application for a nurse's position with the city hospital, and now I got an appointment to see Dr. Heinrich Schnitzel. He's the head of the staff.
Well, go ahead, but all I can say is that if you're going to be a nurse at a big hospital, sickness is going to be more dangerous than ever.
Dr. Schnitzel, I'm Joan Davis, applying for the nurse's position.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Glad to meet you, Miss Davis. Please pardon my rubber gloves.
Oh, rubber gloves. Did you just come from surgery?
No, I was just washing out a pair of socks.
Well, gee, it would be wonderful working for a doctor like you, Dr. Schnitzel. I've heard you've got degrees from all over.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've studied at Vienna, Prague, Heidelberg. Oh, but Vienna was the best. I never forget my student days in gay, laughing Vienna.
Say, Doc, how come Vienna's always gay and laughing?
A gland condition. The beer stupid. You know, the beer stupid. Everywhere you go is lager on Wiener Walzers. Yeah. I never forget my first operation. Skalpel, forceps, sponge, beer, cotton, gauze, suture, pretzels. Breathing regular, pulse, waltz time.
Well, was the operation successful?
Oh, sure was successful. The patient died, but what a gay laughing time we had. Well, let's get down to business. Tell me about your background as a nurse.
Well, excuse me, Dr. Schnitzel. Have you heard the good news?
Please, quick. I'm busy. Tell me what you came to tell me.
It's a boy in Mrs. Brown's room.
But I left Arthur. She should have no visitors. Throw him out.
But, Doctor, you don't understand. He just arrived.
I don't care when he got here. Throw him out.
But, Doctor, he can't even walk.
Then sober him up and throw him out. I'll beat it slowly.
Yes, Doctor.
Fine thing. A woman is expecting a baby and they're letting a boy in her room. Get it back to you. Miss Davis, where did you study your nursing? What hospital?
Oh, no hospital. I studied by mail.
By mail? That's ridiculous. Nobody can be a mail order nurse. Who sent you here? The dead letter office?
But, gosh, I know everything I'm supposed to know.
Impossible. A good nurse should know almost as much about the human body and how it works as a doctor. However, I will test you. First, the digestive system. Now, what happens when you eat a meatball?
With or without onions.
What a nincompoop you are. What a nincompoop. That would be $5, please.
You mean I'm supposed to give you $5 for telling me I'm a nincompoop?
Certainly. You don't think a big doctor like me makes a diagnosis for nothing? Please, Miss Davis, go away. You are no nurse.
Oh, gee, Dr. Schnitzel, give me a chance. I'd make a great nurse. I love humanity. People. Iodine. And besides, I'm the kind of a nurse a patient needs. I got a very sympathetic face.
Why shouldn't you have a sympathetic face? Probably sorry for it, then. Now go away and become a babysitter or something. Goodbye. Scram.
I know. Dr. Schnitzel brushed me off and I didn't get the job.
Oh, too bad, boss.
Oh, he wouldn't know a good nurse anyway.
Oh, you're wrong. I happen to know that Schnitzel is a fine old doctor. Why, he's been wearing that uniform for over 30 years.
It's about time he had it washed.
Boss, you wouldn't have gotten that job even if you was a good nurse. It's politics.
Politics?
Sure. Practically all them city jobs in this town are controlled by Mayor Newbold's Square Deal Party, which in turn is controlled by the political boss, Honest Gary Moore. Nobody gets a city job unless Honest Gary Moore okays it.
Well, I'll go see Honest Gary Moore and ask him to help me.
Don't be silly. You couldn't get near him. Give it up, boss. There are too many obstacles.
I won't give up, Lionel. In spite of the obstacles, I'll have a career. I'll show him. After all, look at Madam Curry. In spite of everything, she showed him. And Claire Luce. She showed him. And Madam Chiang Kai-shek. She showed him. Gypsy Rose Lee, she got there too, you know.
Oh.
So Joni's on her way over to demand a job from the big boss of the town's political machine, Honest Gary Moore. But what Joan doesn't know is that Honest Gary Moore's square deal party is losing its power. A group of civic-minded citizens have organized a reform party and are running their own candidate for mayor. And at this very moment, Honest Gary is having a worried discussion with a fellow square dealer.
Now, look, Honest Gary.
Yes, Honest Stanislaus.
The situation is getting desperate. The reform group is getting stronger every day.
Yeah, I don't know why I ever let him persuade me to elect that dope Newbold as mayor of this town. He's got the heart of a bird and a brain to match.
I don't know, boss. Mayor Newbold's done some good things. Just so the people could have cheap water power. Didn't he have a great big dam built?
Well, yes, but don't you think he should have first found out there was no river to go with it? It seems so to me. The reaction to that was nationwide. Only today I got calls about it from Honest Dan in Detroit, Honest Chuck in Chicago, Honest Pete in Peoria, Honest Oscar in Oshkosh, and Crooked Sam in Seattle.
How come he calls himself Crooked Sam?
He's the only one of us who's honest. Anyway, they all say the same thing. There's a lot of pressure from the women voters to clean up politics. Why, if we try to re-elect Mayor Newbold, we'll be up Frenchman's Creek without a poodle. French poodle, at it.
Then the whole election seems to hinge on the women's vote,
mm-hmm.
Huh? Gosh, who would ever think that women would become this important?
Oh, of course women are important. They're very important. In fact, they serve a very definite purpose. Without women, we wouldn't have ladies' night at the Turkish bath. Right? Wouldn't have Portia facing it. And on the Doctor IQ program, they'd be saying, I got a nothing in the balcony, doctor.
You're right, Chief. Women are important. But that's not getting us their votes. What are we going to do?
Well, it all depends on the candidate we put up. Now, what sort of a candidate would a woman vote for? Wait a minute, that's obvious. Another woman.
A woman candidate for mayor? You think of a wife?
Why, certainly. I can see the whole thing. I've even got a campaign slogan. Remember that old campaign slogan the Republicans once used? Two chickens for every pot?
Yeah, what about it?
With a woman running, we'll change it to two girdles for every pot.
That should bring him in.
That sounds great, Chief. You're great. You're wonderful.
I know it. Now, the important the important thing is to put up a woman we can control. Some dame who's stupid enough to let us stay in the driver's seat, see? And we got to find a dame who's not too good-looking, not too young, and especially one who's very dumb.
Chief, we really got to be awful careful. You know, it'd be terrible if we put up the wrong dame.
Look, Stanislaus, I know women. When I spot the dame stupid enough to be our mayor, I'll know her immediately.
Excuse me, I'm Joan Davis.
Well, come right in, Your Honor. Here, have a chair. Sit down.
Oh, no, thanks. I'm looking for Honest Gary Moore.
Well, I'm Honest Gary Moore.
You are? Honest.
Double-crossed my heart.
Gee, a real-life politician. You know, you look different than I thought you would.
Yeah, I suppose you pictured me as an older man with very little hair on top, eh?
Yeah, and I was right.
Well, there are a lot of mistaken ideas about politicians. For example, we politicians are supposed to kiss babies, but we never do.
Oh, no, well, I went to a newsreel and saw Governor Dewey making a speech. He bent over to take a bow and three babies fell out of his mustache.
Probably planted there by the Democrats. Now, my little dandelion, and I use the term dandelion in reference to your stems. What can I do for you?
Well, I came to see you about a city job. I need your help.
I see. You excuse me a moment?
Yes.
Say, Stanislaus, come here.
Yes, Chief.
Stanislaus, this is the woman we're going to run for mayor.
But, Chief, are you sure she's dumb enough?
Are you kidding? Look at her standing there, counting her fingers, and getting a different answer every time.
You know, we can't afford to take no chances. Better give her the same unintelligence test we give Mayor Newbold.
Okay. Oh, Miss Davis, before we can get you the job I have in mind, there are a few questions I'd like to ask you.
Oh, sure, anything at all, it's all so.
Miss Davis, how much are two and two?
Two and two what?
Well, anything. Two and two apples.
No, I'm allergic to apples. Better make it oranges.
Okay, look, if you had two oranges and I gave you two more oranges, how much would it be?
About $2, the way prices are. Aren't you going to applaud?
No. Miss Davis, I suppose you know some little something about domestic affairs.
Oh, sure. I hope Winston Rockefeller will be very happy.
Oh, that's fine. But I'm trying to find out if you know anything about politics. Now, tell me, let me see. Oh, what do you think of the Iron Curtain?
Well, I think it's a wonderful idea. It saves washing. I ought to sell a lot of them. But look, Mr. Moore, what about my job? I took a course in nursing, and I want to be a nurse for the city.
A nurse? Why, Miss Davis, you can render a far greater service to this fair city of ours. I want you to run for mayor. Will you do it?
Well, I can't. I'm busy all this week. Mayor.
Yep.
Me mayor.
Yes, I can
promise. Mayor me.
Yes, I can promise.
Me mayor.
Yes.
Yes, I can promise
you the mayor. Yes. Move.
Oh,
mayor. I'll attempt this once more. Yes. I can promise you the support of every independent voter, right down to the last repeater.
But I don't know anything about being a mayor. I'm a civilian.
Miss Davis, would you pass up a chance to serve the city you love? The city that means everything to you? The city that you die for?
Look, I'm not dead.
Well, then move once in a while and keep me posted, will you? Anyhow, I'm sure you'd make a great mayor. Wouldn't she, Stanislaus?
Oh, yeah. Say, boss, Honest Jim is on the phone from Jamaica.
Now, be right with him. Now, now, Miss Davis, I want you to think this over. Why don't you relax for just a little while? I'll be back in a few minutes for your answer.
Arch, just thank me. Joan Davis, mayor. Imagine me running the city. A political power. Well, I'll walk down the street and they'll say, there goes Joan Davis, who used to be just a stupid nobody. And now she's mayor. And it hasn't changed her a bit. And then, maybe if I'm a successful mayor, I could go on and be governor of the state. And then maybe president. The first woman president. Gee. All this excitement has sure tired me out. Ooh. But it would be wonderful if I was the first woman president. Ooh, me, Joan Davis, president. President? Me?
Listeners, late election returns indicate that the Woman's Party, headed by candidate Joan Davis, is way out ahead and is almost assured of election. As a result of this news, stocks have dropped 2 more points and dresses have dropped 3 more inches.
My fellow Americans, if I become the first woman president, I promise you that there will be lace curtains in every post office in America.
Here are the final election returns. Today, for the first time in our history, women have swept into every important position in the country. And so tonight, as a tribute to the new power of women and our new president, Joan Davis, there flies from the White House flagpole a 2-way stretch.
My fellow Americans, I wish to thank you for electing me to the high office of president. My first official act, as your new president, was to get to work on the labor situation. I've already been in conference with the head of the United Women Mine Workers Union, Jane L. Lewis. All I can say at this time is that dame ought to pluck her eyebrows.
Good evening. This is your news commentator, Harriet von Kaltenborn. Well, our new woman president, Joan Davis, has been in office 3 months now, and she's doing scrumptiously. Yes, scrumptiously. Very scrumptiously. Ah, yes. Last week at a cocktail party, the British ambassadress, Lady Duff Nottingham, arrived wearing the same hat as our lovely president. As you women know, that's just an open declaration of war. However, Madam President used great tact and diplomacy. She sidestepped the issue by fainting dead away. Ah, yes. Our president is a wonderful woman. And she's also fortunate in having a husband as lovely as the first man of the land, Gary Moore. Oh, yes. I can almost see them seated in the White House parlor. Oh, yes.
Joni Boney, may I talk to you for a moment?
What is it, Gary boy?
Do you realize we haven't had a chance to be alone since you were elected president?
Oh, I know, but I've been so busy with things. I'm in a mess with the budget. $10 billion off, so please don't bother me.
But, darling, there's something bothering me.
Oh, Gary boy, please don't annoy me. Now, what did I do with that $2 billion worth of war material?
I know you didn't have it with you when you left the house this morning.
Let's see. Did I lend those war materials to Turkey or Greece?
Well, it's easy to find out, dear. Just declare war on both of them, and whichever country shoots back, that's the one.
Oh, Gary, you're so clever. Run over to the mint and print yourself a bonus.
Steve, honey, why don't we go away somewhere for the weekend, just the two of us? We'll have lots of laughs.
Don't be silly. For laughs, we'd have to take Congress along.
Dear, I must talk to you about us. And you're always so busy. What kind of a president are you? You realize you haven't touched your piano for over a month now?
Well, you know, Gary boy, a president's work is never done.
You know, darling, sometimes I think we were a lot happier back in Kansas City when you ran that little lingerie shop. Don't answer that, darling. I want to talk to you.
But, dear, I'm sorry. I'm the president.
Now, look, I've been trying to talk to you for days. I know I'm only a man, but I've got some rights. Now, look, honey, I want you to know that...
Come in if you're important.
Excuse me for interrupting, but I must see the president at once. I am Heinrich von Schnitzel, the ambassador from Bisonia.
I'm the president. What do you want?
If certain matters are not straightened out at once, there's going to be a war between your Gondry and my Gondry.
Sir, are you threatening the United States?
Yeah, I was... This is the United States?
Yes.
Himmel, did I get on the wrong boat?
Bisonia. Never heard of it. Oh, well, maybe I'll make a goodwill tour there sometime.
Darling, after you hear what I've got to tell you, I don't think you'll want to travel.
What is it, Gary boy?
I've been trying to tell you. You see, we're going to... Well, what I mean is...
Yes?
We're going to have a little third party.
Why, that's wonderful. A third party. And if it's a boy, we'll call it Henry.
Oh, darling. Oh, darling, I'm so happy I could put my arms around you and hug you and kiss you and squeeze you.
Oh, Gary, don't, please. You're shaking me. Stop. Stop, I tell you, stop.
Miss Davis, stop. Miss Davis, wake up.
Oh, it's you. Gosh, Mr. Moore, did I just have an unusual dream?
An unusual dream?
Yeah, I dreamed I was president.
What's unusual about that dream? Taft has them all the time. Now, about your running for mayor...
Look, Mr. Moore, I think you better forget about me running for any political office. I've had all the nightmares I can take.
But, Miss Davis, just think, when you're elected mayor, wealthy, handsome men will gather around you seeking your favors. While they'll throw themselves at your feet. Every night they'll wine you and dine you, filling your pockets with gold and your slippers with champagne.
Gee, just imagine men throwing parties for me and drinking champagne from my slipper. Every night, champagne from my slipper. Boy, I'll have the only big toe in town that belongs to Alcoholics Anonymous.
Joni will be back in a minute, but while she's gone, here's something well worth remembering. Earlier this evening, Joni and her cast were having fun talking about Joni's so-called course in nursing. But now, if we may, we'd like to say something serious on this subject. Because Joni and all of us believe that there's no finer career for bright, alert young women these days than nursing. It's a career that offers a chance for wonderful service, along with challenging work in association with the finest people in the community. The nursing field offers a professional education that embraces unusual studies, including psychology, sociology, and child care. A student nurse enjoys pleasant dormitory life with girls of her own age. She works with doctors and graduate nurses. Fine, devoted, professional people with a high sense of duty and purpose. To qualify for this rewarding and stimulating career, a girl must be of good health and character, a high school graduate or a college student. Qualified girls who want to know more about how they may become nurses should apply at their nearest hospital at once. Now here's Joni again.
Well, Gary, it's always a real pleasure to have you visit with us.
Well, thanks, Joan. I just hope you keep inviting me.
You know, Gary, I wasn't really fooling tonight about my interest in nursing.
Oh?
Hmm? At one time, I intended to become a nurse. I come from a medical family, you know.
You do? Well, I do, too. My grandfather was a real horse and buggy doctor. He had quite a few patients, too. 6 horses and 4 buggies.
Well, in my family, where did you get a load of this one?
Come here.
In my family, it was my Uncle Sylvester who was the doctor.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was quite a surgeon, too, until an unfortunate thing happened. It seems he was about to sew up a patient after an operation when he found he was all out of surgical thread.
Mm-hmm.
So, instead, he sewed the patient up with some knitting wool.
Well, what happened?
The patient took a bath, the wool shrank, and now the man walks sitting down. Well, good night, Gary. We're even. And good night now.
Good night, Joan. Good night.
There's more good fun and music coming at you next week, Coast to Coast, when Joni's special guest will be that popular singing star, Kenny Baker. So remember, if anybody asks you what time it is next week at this time, tell them it's Joan Davis time.
Joan Davis time on Tuned to Yesterday, a broadcast from Valentine's Day 1948 on CBS with special guest known as the Haircut, Gary Moore. And that wraps up this hour of comedy on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Livonier. Thanks for tuning in.